Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's edition of the Original Strength Podcast. This week, thought we would just do a Q&A. I've had some people write in and ask me questions, and I thought the podcast might be a great opportunity to entertain those questions and hopefully answer them to the best of my ability, and maybe you'll find them useful. So, let's get started. So our first question is from Justin. Justin asks, all of your books have a daily movement routine in them. Is this a progression you believe the average person should go through? For instance, from Pressing Reset Original Strength Reloaded through to Discovering You for the 21s? Or is this a progression in your thought process? For example, should the average person now start with the 21s? Justin, that's a good question. And honestly, there's no real easy answer to that other than most of my books are a progression in my thought process. But it all starts with original strength. So the exercises or the movements, the resets and original strength, to me, are the foundation for everything and everything you want to do. So I think if anybody's looking at where do you start, everybody should start with original strength, or at least with pressing reset. Now, there are exercise routines in original strength, pressing reset, but those are really creative ways for people to get moving if someone doesn't know where to start. That book on its own is, if anybody only had that one book from anything I've written, they would be good to go. Now, my other books, they are really a progression in my journey from where I started after applying original strength or after setting my foundation with the resets. So habitual strength, there's workout routines in that book, but the purpose of that book is to help a person establish habits. So for the non-mover or for the person that thinks changing their body or their mindset is just too hard, that book is a easy step-by-step way of changing habits you don't want or implementing new habits that you do want. It doesn't have to be hard. There are the workout routines in that book, though. I'll be honest, they are my bread and butter foundation for how I program my distance learning clients. Not those specific workouts, but the format, 10-minute blocks of moving. Some of them they're just so easy to implement in your life, like combining movements, squats and push-ups and things like that in just blocks of time easily throughout your day or your week to build up and achieve the foundation of strength that you want, but also the body that you're happy in, the one you feel good in. So I think for somebody that just really wants to learn how to develop habits or change habits, habitual strength, honestly, it's one of my favorite books. It's a goldmine of information that takes what would seem to be a mountain, turns it into a molehill that you can easily see and start pushing flat, or whatever you want to say. So that's habitual strength. OS Performance, that book is more for the, I don't want to say collegiate athlete or the professional coach, but for somebody that uses performance in their livelihood. So if you're a coach, the routines in that and the thought process in that is, how can you take your athletes that are competing at a high level and give them that extra advantage or that extra edge? Yes, anybody can take the concepts in that book and apply it to their own lives and help their own daily performance. But honestly, that book is really more geared for the competitive athlete and the professional coach or trainer. So then you come to, well, you could come to Becoming Bulletproof. Now that book, all right, so the Becoming Bulletproof Project, that book is for the person that, once you get a sense of there's more to you, there's more to exercise, there's more to movement, but you know that there's something else. Becoming Bulletproof Project helps you discover that you can do anything, that you are a superhero, and it does use physical routines and training routines to help you get there. They're grueling, they're mentally abusive, exhaustive, but they're doable, and they don't put you in physical danger. They just suck mentally. So I really love that book to help the person discover that they can do anything they want to do. They're strong enough, they're good enough, and doggone it, people like them. Anybody, Saturday Night Live, Stuart Smalley fans. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So the Becoming Bulletproof Project, that is the book for what can I do? There's more to me, there's more to movement, there's more. I want to be a superhero. There's something in me that wants more. More. That's for you. So those workouts are brutal. Now, here's the thing. And this one's hard to wrap your head around. But that book, if you apply those concepts, you get to a point where you just got to know. You just have to know that you're strong enough and that you're a superhero. Once you know that, you no longer feel compelled to engage in those grueling practices because you know you can do it. You know you did it. You know you can do it. My easiest example of that is that all the stuff in that book I've done, it is brutal. And then I didn't do it for a year to 2 years, maybe longer. But then I can pick it back up and I can still do those exact same things. And I haven't done them. I haven't been training for them. But the reason is I can do them is because I know that I can do them. It's not as... Unlocking your body's physical ability, there's a great deal of it that's mental. And once you can tap into that mental reserve or that mental mindset that you can do things, the body just follows. So once you discover you're a superhero, you know you're a superhero. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to beat yourself down mentally or physically. And really, that's more of a mental beat down than a physical beat down. But you don't have to beat yourself down every day or often, or hardly at all, because once you know who you are, and once you know what you can do, then you know who you are and you know what you can do. So honestly, the goal of that book is to help people discover that they're capable of limitless possibilities, that they're a superhero. And now, then you come to discovering you. The goal of that book is to discover who you truly, truly are. Yes, Becoming Bulletproof Project was discover you're a hero, but there's still so much more. There's so much more depth to you than that. So there's the 21s, the daily 21s for vitality and the daily 21s for strength and well-being. Those movements, honestly, they just honor. It's kind of like taking pressing reset and habitual strength and combining them together to give somebody a checklist of these things right here will be good for your body and good for your mind. They honor your joints. They honor your nervous system. They get you moving. They're good for your brain. And if you do them daily, you'll just stay vibrant. You'll stay healthy. You'll stay active, young, or you'll stay able. You have no. So this could actually be discovering you could actually be a good progression after the Becoming Bulletproof Project, because you've got nothing to prove. You just want to live your life well and feel good. And this, so it doesn't have to be hard or complicated anymore. All you have to do is honor your design. Discovering you, the training templates in there are simply about honoring your design. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, Justin, which was a really good question, because I've written all these different books that have all these different training templates in there. But to me, they're just a progression in thought of where we can go, where we should go, but they're also the same thing. So pressing reset is layered throughout all of them, and it's just a different angle or a different lens to look at how to press reset, how to establish habits, how to plug in to your design every day, how to honor your design, and then really how to discover who you really are. And discovering who you really are does actually start with moving the way you were designed to move. So yes, it is progression. Yes, you can do them all. Yes, you don't have to do them all. Yes, you can just pick to one, whatever flavor works for you. If you need guidance and direction, maybe habitual strength. If you want a checklist or you want to grow more about and learn more about yourself, maybe discovering you, you can look at them all and take what you like, the bits and pieces of all of them and put them together. You could combine discovering you with the Becoming Bulletproof Project. You could use the 21s for vitality as your movement prep for the grueling aspects of training that are in the Becoming Bulletproof Project. Or you could simply just press reset and do some of those creative training programs inside of our Original Strength Reloaded and go about your life. So they don't, it doesn't have to be a progression for the individual though, as much as it is just what I have learned through this 10-year span of pressing reset. I hope that makes sense. Very good question. Now, Justin, you had another question, and it was, gotta open up my iPad. It was second question. You've said that you are doing the daily 21s, the 21s daily. But you also said that you are doing 200 Hindu squats and 100 Hindu push-ups daily. What is your daily routine now? Well, I actually had another question from another person, Brad, who also asked me what my daily routine is now or how I flow through the day. So, Justin, that's really two questions. Let's answer what you said. Yes, I do the daily 21s. Do I still do 200 Hindu squats and 100 Hindu push-ups a day? Kinda, almost, not really, sometimes. So I love those movements, and I go through seasons where I'm like a boomerang with those things. I just come back to them, I come back to them, I come back to them. Currently, I am in the season of, I just wanna honor my design and feel good, which is discovering you, daily 21s. But I want to do those movements because I like them and they make me feel good. So I don't feel like I need to be religious with them though, or do them every single day. And what now, right now, currently, in the last few weeks, I have discovered that why do 200 squats when 100 makes me feel just as good and it's still moving my joints the way they need to be moved and it's still addressing my movement patterns and my muscles. So now we get into the question of how much is enough, but that's a whole other question, which comes later from another reader or viewer. So again though, you can use the daily 21s as movement prep. So if you have a daily routine you enjoy, awesome, do it. If it makes you feel good, do it. Do you need to do the daily 21s? You might, if you don't have a good movement foundation and if you're not completely honoring your body's design on how it's designed to move. Yeah, absolutely. Will they make you feel better? Absolutely. They won't take anything away from you, but they'll give to you. And that's the magic of your design and those movements. If they add to the quality of your life, awesome. If they take away from the quality of your life, we're going in the wrong direction. And that's for anything, not just those movements. That's for all movement or all habits that you do. Doesn't have to be about movement. So I hope that answers your question. But now to get in more to your deeper question, what does your daily flow look like? So, and this was Brad's question also. To be honest, I'll just give you a snapshot of my day. I get up around 5 a.m. I reach for a beverage, coffee, water, whatever. Depends on what season I'm in on that. But I sit down for about 30 to 45 minutes, and I will either read a passage from the Bible, a dailies, or a book about daily meditations. Or I have several books that do that. One by Emmett Fox, which is a really good book. It's 365 Days with Emmett Fox or something like that. It's really neat. Anyway, but that's what I do in the mornings. My first 30 to 45 minutes are quiet time, reflecting, reading, marinating on scriptures, marinating on the thoughts or words of the day from whatever book I'm reading, and then just sitting there, slowly drinking my beverage and allowing my body to wake up. After that, daily 21s, I press reset. I'll go through those movements and just, you know, it may take 10 to 20 minutes flowing through those movements just to wake my body up and honor my design. After that, I move into some type of training. Here's where it gets sticky, because I do literally flow from how I'm feeling, especially lately in this season of everything slow. So a good routine I like to do almost every day of the week is do 10 get-ups of some type, with a weight, without a weight, whatever, and hang on a bar in between, or do a few half pull-ups or whatever in between my get-ups. That takes about 10 to 15 minutes. If I'm really being honest with you, I have found there's a practice called Yogoda, or from the the yogi guru Yogananda wrote, developed a flexing training muscular mind-muscle connection about just trying to find your muscles, like get that mind-muscle connection. There's my left bicep. How hard can I contract it? Can I contract it easy? Can I contract it moderately? Can I contract it really intense? But it's just really just finding different muscles in your body and trying to have access to them. That's kind of fascinating. Like to get that mind-muscle connection to, hey, there's my right oblique. There it is. Okay, got it. How can I contract it? Can I hold it? Can I do it intense? Can I do it softly? Can I modulate it? Honestly, guys, I do stuff like that. It's mentally engaging. It gives me something to do, and it helps me more fine-tune my brain-body connection. There's also a practice called, if you're not into that, called a guy back in the early 1900s, also called Maxick. He was it's really kind of a similar thing where he was more of a, he was a bodybuilder, strongman really, but he looked like a bodybuilder because he was beautiful. He was like sculpted out of granite. And he did some very similar things where he would put his mental power into his muscles, his willpower into his muscles, and he would try to find them and make contractions and learn how to isolate them and then learn how to manipulate them throughout his entire body. And by doing that, believe it or not, he became ridiculously strong and was outperforming strong men in feats of strength. And that's what he did. That was his strength. So I've been exploring stuff like that, and I love it. It's given me something to do in these last 4 months of Corona Chronicles. So that's my current routine. I'll do that for 15, 20 minutes. And then I may go find other periods of the day. So after I do that morning routine, I'll go about my business of like taking care of chores, writing, making videos. And then I'll look for two or three other pockets in the day to do 10 to 20 minutes of activity. Lately, it's I'll go for walks or rucks, and or I might go ride my bike up some hills and down the hill and just have fun being a kid again. That's my routine currently. Now, again, it is, I do flow with it. So some days instead of the get-ups and the pull-ups, I'll crawl and march for time, or I'll just do suitcase carries with a kettlebell, walking across my cul-de-sac for 10 minutes at a time. Again, I'm a big fan of 10-minute blocks and increments, and I'm not married to any one thing right now other than feeling good. I want to feel good. So that's what I do. Those are my flows, guys. That's what I do daily. I know that was extremely fascinating and exciting, but you asked, so I told you. All right, so our next question comes from my friend Chris. So Chris is him and I work together with online training, distance training. And Chris had a great question of, hey, this stuff I'm doing, I'm able to do it fairly well. Is it okay if I add weight or add reps or add time? Is it okay if I make it harder? So here's the thing, and this will jive with some of you and it won't jive with some of you. But this comes from my mindset of becoming bulletproof. Once you know that you are capable of anything, you don't always have to destroy yourself, because you're capable of anything, which means you're also capable of doing what would be extremely challenging for someone else, even though it's easy for you. So becoming bulletproof, or really discovering your true strength, is not about always pushing yourself. It's about making the hard things easy. That means it's not about always looking for hard things. Does that make sense? You have to come to a point, once you realize you're capable, the natural progression for you will be to come to a point where you say, I am enough. This is enough. And what is enough? Well, that's up to you. But for me, a good definition of enough would be what we talked about earlier. What adds to my life? Does it make me feel better? Does it allow me to move the way I want to? Does it allow me to express myself physically the way I want to? Does it allow me to express myself mentally and creatively the way I want to? If it doesn't, then are you doing enough to get there, or is it going the opposite way? Is it taking that ability away from you? Do you feel like trash? Do you ache? Do you hurt? Do you feel sluggish? Do you not want to get out of bed? Is your body revolting against you? Can you think? Can you do all the mental things you want to do? And if you can't, you need to decide, or at least do some inner reflection, am I doing too much? maybe, right? So training, guys, progression cannot be infinite. And you know this in your heart of hearts, you know that eventually there's an end to progression, not necessarily an end to mastery, but an end to progression of strength. You can only lift so much, your body is only capable, there's an end point to how much weight your body can move. And as you grow older, that end point might start, that ceiling might even get lower. But that doesn't mean you still can't enjoy movement and express yourself phenomenally well. And it doesn't mean you can't master how your body moves or master even the finest things and the things you'd like to do. So while your skill set and your mastery level could always increase, even if only like minutely, that's wonderful. But your strength progress is going to have a limit. Not only that, your time has a limit. The weight, your resources will eventually run to a limit. So don't feel like you always need to progress. And I would even challenge you that if you always feel like that, there's something in you that's lacking. There's a maturity that you haven't yet achieved, or an appreciation of your own self that you haven't yet achieved. And I'm guilty of this. I'm not like preaching at you. I'm just telling you that once you discover what you're capable of and you become really more comfortable with who you are, you have nothing to prove to anyone, especially yourself. Because you are enough, you're good enough, you're strong enough. If you can do really good, strong things and you can make them easy, there will come a point where you're like, that's enough. I can do that today. I can do it 3 weeks from now. And if I'm still doing that same thing 5 years from now, even if it's not heavier, I'm still doing that. There was a time when that was challenging. If you show up every day, a lot of times it's just about showing up. That's the progress. If you want to like get good at something, show up every day. Your body's not going to get weaker if you show up every day. Your body will get weaker if you try to show up every day and pummel it. But it will honor you and respect you if you respect and honor it by just giving it a good challenge and using it and moving it. Use it or lose it. Use it, keep it. Use it, keep it. Doesn't always have to be a progression. It can't always be a progression. But until you come to that point where you are secure in who you are and your abilities and what you want to do, that's a hard lesson to learn. Now, I'm not telling you not to have goals. I'm not telling you not to set your sights on like achieving a certain lift or a certain weight to lift. All that stuff's great. But even that glory is to say it's less than temporary would be an under-exaggeration. That lasts for a moment. But to know that you feel good, you can do what you want to do and live your life the way you want to, and that you don't have any hindrances or limitations. There's a sweet spot in your movement, in your training that will get you there. There's a sweet spot in here that will get you there if you let it. But then that's self-discovery. So depending on who you are in your journey, you may need to learn that you may need to do too much before you come to realize, you know what, I just want to feel good. I was feeling good, and then I reached for more, and then I started not feeling good again. You may need to do that 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 times before you discover, you know what? This is good. I'm enough. This is enough. I don't need to keep pushing myself. I hope that makes sense. All right, guys, I've been going on. I got one more thing. So I have another client that wrote in about breathing. So this is a tip for you. In all my distance training clients and anyone I train or anyone I do a workshop with, I try to impress the importance of learning how to manage your ability to breathe with your lips shut and only breathing in and out through your nose, in and out through your nose, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're sleeping, whether you're walking, whether you're sprinting, whether you're weight training. Now, if you have certain disciplines, now I say no matter what you're doing, if you have certain disciplines that call for a certain way to breathe, great, have at it. But if you really want to unlock your body's potential and really just tap into your unlimited superhuman freakish ability and potential, if you learn how to manage your breath and do whatever you're doing with your lips shut, breathing in and out through your nose, you have no limits. You develop an insane heart, an insane lung function. You keep your nervous system like just right where it needs to be. You can still compete, but you never freak out. You don't go to so far into fight or flight you can't think. But you can also stay in that sweet spot, the optimal arousal zone, to really perform well. But let's say you're not performing, you are just wanting to be. Well, learning how to manage your breath and only breathe in and out through your nose will help you stay in your parasympathetic nervous system mode, rest and digest mode. It'll help take all the stressors in your life and lower them. It may help your body heal from numerous issues, inflammation, disease, conditions, whatever. It makes everything about your life better. And it's simple. If you're crawling, walking, whatever you're doing, you shut your lips, keep your tongue in the roof of your mouth, and you breathe in and out your nose. Now, how do you manage that? So the rule is, here's the tip. You let your mouth or your tongue be your governor. If you are, let's say you're running, but your mouth pops open, great. That is your cue. All right, that was a lot of stress, too much for me to maintain. Now it's time to rest. So you walk. If you're running and your mouth pops open, you stop running and you start walking until you can close your lips again and start running again. This is very, very similar to Phil Maffetone's method, but it's even simpler to keep track of, because if your mouth pops open, your heart rate's too high, you can't manage your breath anymore, you're flipping your nervous system, you're taking that toggle switch, you go, whoop, pull sympathetic, everything, we're in emergency now. You're not gonna get the benefits anymore. You're not only that, you're actually weakening, because chances are when that mouth pops open, you're using your emergency breathing muscles probably well more than you're using your diaphragm, for those of you that haven't gotten used to doing this, which means you're not, your nervous system doesn't feel safe. If you can keep your lips shut, your nervous system feels safe, all brakes are off the body. You can perform. You can run faster, jump higher, hit harder, whatever it is you're doing, lift heavier. You can perform when the body is not in freak out mode. When the mouth pops open and we're gasping for air, freak out mode. Just is. But if you can learn to manage that, if you can learn that, oh, when it pops open, start walking till you can recover, or whatever it is you're doing, you find a way to bring it down so that you can get back that nasal breathing with the lips shut. And eventually what you'll find is you don't tire. You don't get tired anymore. And you have taken that envelope and pushed it well on down the road where you can run full sprints like Usain Bolt, not as fast, but with the intensity that your body can produce, lips shut. You can run a 5K, lips shut. You can run longer, lips shut. Whatever it is you're doing, you can do it with your lips shut, and your body is just on. And your health is through the roof. Your performance, through the roof. Everything is just right. That's the elixir, man. Learn how to manage your breath and keep your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Change your life forever. Change your life. All right, guys, that is my Q&A for this edition of the podcast, Q&A number one. So if you have questions or you want more clarification, feel free to write in and we can get enough of those together and we'll do a Q&A number two or 10, whatever you got. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. I am Tim. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good week.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Original Strength Podcast.